All right, guys, this is a super, super, super special episode for me. Today I have none other than Mike Michalowicz. If you don't know who Mike Michalowicz is, he's the author of 9 books, including Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, Profit First, and the book I want to speak a little bit about today, which is Pumpkin Plan. The reason I'm having Mike on the podcast is because he has agreed to come and speak live at our mastermind, May 18th in New Jersey. And I can tell you all about who he is and his credentials, but you guys have Google. You guys can look him up. And I think in the next 25, 30 minutes of the podcast, you're going to understand the type of person and the level of speaker that Mike is for all small business owners and entrepreneurs. But selfishly, if I could just kind of take you back a little bit and talk about this from my perspective, you know, for so many of you, and myself, we start out with nothing, right? We build a business, and my practice started with a table in a gym with no air conditioning, and I didn't have an office. And I treated one patient at a time, and I opened in July. And then, as you know, New Jersey in July is quite hot and humid, and it was 100 degrees. And when it would get too hot and I was treating a patient, I would open up the refrigerator and try to cool off my patients. So that was 2015, and that's where I started. And we progressed and built a business that's, you know, going to push 7 figures this year as a practice. And I built it to the point that I don't spend time directly in it anymore. And we have unbelievable, amazing people running that business. And it's such an accomplishment for me. And then in the Rehab Cairo side, you know, when I first live event I ever did, I had 20, 25 people show up. And that was really cool. But to see in 2 years, we're at a point where we can bring a speaker to you guys and a caliber with the caliber of a guy like Mike Michalowicz. It's just, I mean, really, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. And I share that with you because I hope if nothing else, me sharing my journey and my story and to literally just let you kind of watch how it's played out. It's not for me to brag about it. It's not for me to, you know, do anything like that. It's just to show you what's possible. When you come to our live events and you get to meet our team, it's the most gratifying thing for me because I know how good they are. And when you guys get to meet them, you can see how good they are. And the fact that someone like me, who's just like all of you listening to this, was able to find and recruit and retain people like that, it's one of the greatest accomplishments of my life. Bring it back to Mike. He's going to spend the afternoon with us on May 18th. And the topic of his presentation is regarding the Pumpkin Plan, the book. The scary part about being a business owner and entrepreneur is that most 80% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. And less than 4% of businesses make it to 7 figures, make it to $1 million. The Pumpkin Plan strategy, which is how to find, identify, and retain your best customers, I believe is the strategy that's going to help all of you guys succeed beyond your wildest dreams. So many of us get stuck or we get caught in trying to be all things to all people. And I can share it till I'm blue in the face, but I'm also not dumb. I recognize that there are times when there are people at different points in their business journey that have experienced different things than I have, that are further along than I am. And I want to be a curator of those people, that I want to be able to bring them into a room, and that for a simple flight and ticket, you can step into a room like that and be able to hear someone like Mike communicate in the way that he does. Because something that happens at these live events, and I walk into every single one thinking about this, that somebody's life is going to be changed in that live event. I mean, we had a mastermind member who hadn't even opened his practice in January. He just graduated school. And at our last live event, he left there with a blueprint and a plan and a sales process. He made $14,000 in the first month of being open in practice. Cash, charging $200 to $300 per visit. Almost no overhead. And I think that forever, that a live event for him, 2 days, the investment of time and effort and energy, that those 2 days changed the course of his practice and his life. And I don't feel like that's dramatic at all. And so when I talk about, when I sort of beg you guys and plead with you that just give yourselves a chance. I know it's away from your family. I know it's expensive. I understand that, you know, spending time away and weekends away. And I understand so many of you out there, you might not have the funds today, or you might have to reallocate funds, and it's going to be a challenge because you got to step away from your kids and your family. But what about the next 25 years? That there's a chance. And again, I don't want to speak in terms that aren't true. There's a chance that when you step into a room in our live event with over 100 other rehab chiros, with someone like Mike McAllowitz, with people of like that, that it will forever change your life, your business, and your family. And the reason why I'm so bullish on being in masterminds and hiring coaches and bringing in people like Mike, who is not a cheap investment, I promise you, that's money that I could take home and spend, is because I know that somebody's going to leave that event and walk up to me at the end and say, thank you for bringing Mike in. The way that he spoke, the way that he communicated, I think it's changed my life forever. I'm going to share with you guys, this is as a preview, and I didn't even tell Mike this. There's a connection that I have to Mike that he doesn't remember or know about, that at the live event, I'm going to bring up to him on the stage, about a person that has had an influence on me when he didn't even realize it. Because I think he can have that same impact on you. If you want to grow your business, if you want to build the business of your dreams, if you want to build the rehab chiropractic practice and treat patients the way that you know they should be, I implore you, I want you, I need you there at my live event. I want you to be at my live event. Please, I'm begging you that it's the best thing for you to do. So you absolutely positively should go into the show notes and click the link, apply for a guest pass. Apply for a guest pass. Someone on our team will get in touch with you, and then we'll be able to get you in our business. Now, as you can hear, I need to go because my beautiful little daughter is about to go to sleep, and I have to wish her a good night. And so I hope all of you guys out there do click the link to get a guest pass, and I can't wait to see you in New Jersey. Now I got to go wish my daughter good night. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Business School for the Rehab Chiropractor. Class is officially in session. My name is Justin Rabinowitz, and I am a rehab chiropractor on a mission to teach you, a fellow rehab chiropractor, the exact tools and systems I've used to build my own successful rehab chiropractic practice so you can do the same. I hope you enjoy, and please subscribe. Mike, so happy to have you here, and let's just kick it off. Everyone wants to know in business how to make more money. So
yeah,
the pumpkin plan idea. Talk to me about how you use that to teach business owners, small business owners, how they can make more money.
So there's a real simple method you can use. It's based upon the Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule. And the key concept is this, and it's a rule of thumb, but it's pretty accurate for most businesses, that the minority of our clients yield the majority of our revenue. So that's the 80-20. So 20% of your clients are yielding 80% of your revenue. It intersects with something else. It's the products or services you sell. And usually 20% of your products are yielding 80% of your profit. If you match the 20% of clients, the big spenders, with those spenders who are actually buying your most profitable items, which may not be all of them, those people are the heart of your organization. If you take care of them, they get the priority treatment. They're the ones you're reaching out to and just thanking them and appreciating them. They're the ones who are always treated as number one. Here's that saying, the right customer, or every customer is always right, or something. Bull. It's the 20% of customers buying the 20% of the most profitable stuff. 20% times 20% is 4%. So you've roughly 4 to 5% of your transactions in your organization. For most organizations, they're mission critical, but no one knows what they are, and therefore we don't protect the heart of the organization. So identify that 20, buying the 20, take care of them. That's the heart of your organization.
I love that. And obviously, being a small business owner, which I know you speak to a lot, it's overwhelming because every day there's more things to do. But this idea of getting crystal clear on who the customer is and who are the ones that are going to be most valuable, I think something else it does, and I'd like you to speak on it, is when we're working with customers and that we like to work with, that are valuing our services, that are happy to pay, that appreciate what we do, I feel like there's like a unspoken energy that appears in our business. And so can you talk about people that have had a breakthrough? Yeah, it's not just that they pay more money to do the service, it's that we become better at our job as well. Have you experienced that over multiple industries?
Yeah, for sure. And I've been very fortunate recently. I've been investing in businesses and everything from manufacturing to professional services and in between. And a company who cares for a certain customer base will inevitably find a recurring need. So the more consistent that customer base, they have the same problems, the same needs, the more efficient we become. A good example is a doctor. Imagine, I wish this upon no one, but you have a heart attack, you get rushed to the hospital, doctor one walks out and he says, I've been dabbling in heart surgery. I also do brain surgery. I'm not that good at that one yet, but I work with geriatrics and pediatrics and blah, 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 all these different things. And then another doctor comes out and she says, all I do is heart surgery. In fact, what you're having right now is the only type of situation I work in. I have a 99.9% success. I do one surgery a day, and this will be my 1,000th surgery. Well, which doctor do you want to work with? Obviously, doctor two, someone that is proficient and efficient at solving your key core problem. And that's a life-saving situation. Many businesses are in a life-altering situation. You know, a properly designed website can generate a tremendous amount of revenue for me because it represents my brand correctly. Do you want to go to someone who says, yeah, I do websites and I try this and I do that, who's generic, or someone who's a specialist? And inevitably, the specialist will care for the client better, will provide better services, be more accurate technically, be able to overcome problems that are even remote and infrequent problems because they've seen them anyway. So when you become a specialist, you become elite, and elite providers inevitably dictate a premium. One note, not every single customer in the world will say, I want the elite. Some customers will say, I just want the cheap solution. Question is, do you want to be that guy getting the cheap solution offering?
Yeah. We always joke. People say, what do I do if someone says I'm expensive? I say, well, they could say the opposite, that you're really cheap and you don't want that. Oh, so who wants to deal with that? That's not fun at all. One of the things that I deal with specifically, like doctors that are just opening their practice or early stage business owners, 0 to 2 years, we talk about niche development and developing who your perfect customer is, and the concept that you're talking about, Pareto's principle. And it's the old adage of, yeah, but I've got to appeal to everyone because I need to just get people in the door, volume, volume, volume to do it. And it's counterintuitive because I know it comes to that. So how would you speak to someone who is saying, yeah, but like, I just want to get anyone and everyone who could come in the beginning because I don't have customers right now?
Yeah. I'll tell you, on day one, when you're just starting out, you don't know what you don't know. I didn't. It's actually a good idea to service multiple customers. A, because you got to develop your expertise. B, you got to find out who you land with. I'll give you a personal experience. I've been down this rodeo, multiple times. And even as an author, this was my fifth or sixth business venture. I was like, okay, I know what to do. Focus on community. And I picked the wrong community. It ended up that the community that was resonating with my early work was female entrepreneurs. And there was a different, or an additional psychographic. But once I understood that, I said, oh, this is the community that's resonating with me, that wants me. Let me lean into it. Once I became really attuned to that community, they carried me on their shoulders to a greater community. So the thing is, if you want to serve a large community, you've got to find out who the initial community is that accepts you and really hone in on your craft there and let them carry you forward. But in the very, very beginning, you don't know who that community is. So play around, see who can serve best, see who resonates with you, then cater for them or to them.
I love that. So my audience obviously coming out as chiropractors, they have the medical side. Yeah. And I think they all understand on a technical level what greatness looks like. Because we've been surrounded by professors and seminars and clinicians who we see as the highest level. What we don't know and what we don't see is what I believe you to be is an expert in business, not only author, speaker all over the world, invest in businesses, have your own businesses. And so the question I want to ask you is, for us that are trying to understand this entrepreneurial thing and what does best in class look like, can you give us some insights into when you look at business owners that are entrepreneurs that are like the highest level, what are some common traits and qualities that they have that you're like, you got to have this or you need to aspire to have this?
Yeah. So they are highly committed to not doing the work, but designing the future path of the business. There's no question about it. The businesses that get stuck, the business owner says, I got to do the work because I'm the best. And they build this artificial expectation. They say, well, my business, when I'm doing the work, is performing really highly. And when others do the work, it degrades. So clearly, I got to keep doing the work. But it's this artificial crutch where we keep kind of pulling the business forward. The business owner that's willing to extract themselves from the business and watch the business settle in where it naturally is, now focuses on building the foundation. I call that the design work. How do I consistently get a high level of output from the business without my involvement? So the number one thing I see is business owners committed to leaving the business from the activity standpoint to focusing on structural standpoint, because that brings about consistency. The business owner can leave the business for an extended period of time and the business continues to cruise along is usually the best business owner. The second thing is I also see these business owners get outside their industry. There's an echo chamber in any industry. It could be chiropractic, could be authorship. It doesn't matter. Wherever we go, we will hear the same best practices often regurgitated because it's the same community talking over and over again. So the best business owners they will be active in their community. They will also get into other communities that are not related just to observe. I've yet to be at a hospitality event, hotels and so forth, where a chiropractor shows up. And to me, it's kind of astonishing. I, as an author, am showing up because I want to learn how's hospitality work on that front. And can I glean some ideas that will transform my industry? And that's the benefit of being outside your industry. You get to see stuff that no one in your industry is doing. You get to be the innovator when you bring it into your business.
Yeah, I love that. And so we're going to speak tons about Pumpkin Plan and the strategy behind that at the live event, which I hope people attend.
I can't wait to watch you do it.
Cause I've seen you perform before quite a few times, and just the energy that you bring is going to be incredible.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun.
But let's talk about your newest book, All In, because you have, how many books have you written actually?
Nine
books. And, everyone is better than the next. People might know you from Profit First, which is, I know, a big business of yours and a big company, but obviously you have a lot, Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, and I could go on and on. But talk to us about All In, and I'd love to dive into that a little bit, because this is an opportunity for me where I'm just kid in a candy store trying to learn lessons that you've learned and then pass them down to my community.
So I'll share a couple of profound insights. So All In is about the recruiting process, how do you get great people, the retention process, how do you keep great people, and how do you raise the bar for the entire organization. When it came to recruiting, what I do is I look at what's the standard approach people follow to get an outcome. And if the desire and the outcome is a mismatch, or something wrong with that approach. And what most business owners want is, I want to hire a great rock star employee. But the interview process rarely results in that. So the method we're following is not working. Here's what I found the best organization in the world does in recruiting. And let me give you a little hint. This organization, it's really a community, consistently 95% of the time get rock star individuals. And they don't run a single interview. And they're over $500 billion in revenue. Now, the industry, big reveal, it's the sports industry. You know, if you're going to play football for some pro team, they don't say like, oh, you know, what could you do on the field? And tell us about your experience playing. They say, get on the field. You demonstrate through skills. So that's interesting, is you can do skill assessments when interviewing someone, but there's something actually even more important. It's identifying someone's potential. They also do this in sports. They run camps. To give you context, I played lacrosse in high school. I was a marginal to less than marginal player, but I went to a camp in the Northeast called Hobart. When I went there, there's 400 students. We're all getting better. We're all training new skills. And certain students were tapped on the shoulder and invited to go to other fields where they played at higher levels or more advanced skills. By the end of the 5-day camp, I think three of these kids were invited to play at Hobart, and I was not one of them. But they were not only improving everybody, they get the opportunity to observe and cherry pick the people with the most potential. Now, here's the ironic thing. I went through the process. I played collegiate lacrosse, and I would attribute to that camp in part because of the skills I learned there. So everyone gets better and you cherry pick. Run an educational event. You need to hire a new administrator. This could be for any position. You know, run a club course, learn how to administer a chiropractic or doctor practice. And the right people who are interested in that skill, always the top people want to learn more, will come to learn. So now you're doing an educational event, but you can observe them during the education. Last thing is, this is not just like hyperbole or a side thought. This is the real deal. They do in the corporate world. Home Depot. The next time you see Home Depot saying we're having a build a birdhouse workshop, it's a recruiting event and no one knows it. You go down there, you build a birdhouse, they're teaching you skills, you become ingratiated with the store, you have a great positive experience. They have an employee there observing participation. And if you show always, it always presents itself in three ways, the most potential. First through curiosity, second through desire, ultimately through thirst. Someone show up, they're curious. Desire, are they asking questions? Are they curious? Thirst, can't quit it. Those are the best. And they look for desire and thirst, tapping the shoulder, and invite you to work at Home Depot. So that's one of the big takeaways from All In. Run camps, educational events to recruit.
I love that. And again, I hope we get to some questions during the Q&A portion regarding that, just as give you insight into our community. And I know you know this, I've heard you speak about it. Typical in the chiropractic industry, it's like Dr. Smith hangs up a shingle and he's him and his admin for the next 25 years. And that's their business. And for me, one of the number one things that I've hammered in our community is to get beyond that, to build the company and build the business. And so it's been tough sledding, I'll admit, but it's been something that's really important to me to get people to be able to build that real, that I call it a real business beyond what just they can do. I guess that being said, you're you're so unique in that we look at the company and we start as an entrepreneur, and we're the doctor, we're the marketer, we're the sales, we're the admin, we're the finance guy. And now at this point, I think you've been an author in all of these categories. Typically what we find, and I'd like to hear your overall view on it, you're usually good at like half of it or the other half. You're either really good at marketing and sales or you're good at ops and finance.
Yeah.
In your experience now, that pumpkin plan, like marketing, niche development, profit first, finance, recruiting, hiring, all with the book All In, how do you navigate this as a startup entrepreneur, as a rehab chiro in our community that's trying to do like 7 million things and they're really good at being the doctor, but the rest of them, how do we navigate building this business?
Yeah. So first it starts off with tracking, and it sounds a little arduous, but there's so much learning from this. As you do your day, just write down what you're doing, the individual tasks, because the best business owners are master delegators, meaning they understand how to delegate out the work they're doing. But most people delegate wrong. They say, oh, I got to hire that admin, for example, and here's something that I hate doing. They should do the work for me. And then we do more of what we do, like doing work, the doctor work, for example. Here's the problem. If you delegate out what you hate to do, it will actually cause you to concentrate more on what you like to do. And you become entrapped in the business saying, I like being the doctor. I'll do more of it. Hire someone and then delegate out what you like to do. That's the definition of delegation, because now we're getting rid of something that we that brings us joy or contentment, which now mandates that we learn how to alleviate from ourselves from doing that work to find the higher level of joy and contentment. So when I work with people, it's like, of all these tasks, what do you like to do the most? And they're like, oh, I really like calling and talking with customers after the exam, for example, and just kibitzing with them, make sure they're happy and everything's good. Okay, that's the thing we're going to delegate out. And they're like, I don't know if anyone else is going to do my level. Well, you're operating a business. We're going to find someone else and we're going to teach them how to do it at your level. It'll take time, but we're going to get good at that. And once we crack that first difficult one to crack, the other ones become so easy. Most people get in a delegation trap where they delegate stuff they don't like to do. They carve themselves out to an area they like to do, and those two will never meet again. And they stay in their two paths, and it's a two-person operation for the rest of their lives.
I think, honestly, it's brilliant. It's one of those things that I've thought of before, I feel like you verbalizing it, something I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make sense, because you're right. In our world, most of the time that people like to treat patients and maybe they like to, I don't know, like go market. But the fact that they might have to learn how to put a sales process together, how to hire and all of that, it's like, well, just delegate all the things you don't like to do. It's like, hold on a second. That's probably the biggest problem. And I think in Vern Harnish's book, that always stuck with me, where he talks about how typically the thing that the business owner does best is the thing that the business will struggle with the most.
That's exactly right.
And exactly what you're speaking about, where what the thing you're the best at and most passionate about, it's probably the first sort of thing that you should do, which like in our world is the doctor side of it. And what I always tell people is, you know, once you have like an admin to do basic admin stuff, yeah, you should attempt to replace yourself, because it's going to be easier to find a chiropractor that can treat patients so that you can go build the actual business and sort of work through the business in that way. So I think that's brilliant on like the thing you like to do the most. It's counterintuitive, because usually it's delegate everything else. So from that perspective, when you think about someone that's in the professional services industry, like we are, where we're in the business and you know how it is early on, you're in the office 20, 30 hours a week, trying to do the work. Sure. And we have these sticking points where it's like, I know I need to go build the business, but I have more patients to treat. How do we sort of get out of the treadmill operator stage, so to speak, where you're just like in it and doing it and be able to step back and build the business, especially when you have bills to pay and family at home and mouths to feed? Like it's scary. And I'm sure you've seen this and heard of this a lot.
Yeah, there's got to be time blocking. And what time blocking is where we reserve a block of time where there is no doing work, it's only designing work. And I even suggest starting off with a small chunk of that time, maybe 2 hours on a Wednesday, but never book that time. And the rule is that is the most precious time. So if someone says, oh, can you squeeze me in Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning for this couple hours? No, you are seeing the most important patient, which is your business. Your business needs you desperately. Now, here's when I wouldn't do it. Don't do it at the end of the day. Don't say, well, I'm going to block out Friday from 4 to 6. A, you're already drained. B, it's easy for existing work to kind of spin out during a day into the remainder of the day. We, for most business owners, we're most productive in the first few hours we show up to work, So that's why it's got to be productive time. So then when you work on the system, what are we going to start delegating? What's the stuff I like to do? How am I going to bring someone on in? And spending 2 hours a week on that, after 10 weeks, we've dedicated 20 hours to this, you're probably going to have some substantial change in your business. But I'll tell you, even if no change, the fact you're blocking out time once a week starts showing you the discipline of the necessity to protect your time. What you'll also find is it forces you to be more considerate of the business's health, because now instead of, say, a 40-hour week of chiropractic work, you have 38 hours. And you'll see you probably can generate just as much revenue, or maybe even more, because you start becoming more concerned in having the right client doing the right services, which is more profitable for you and better for the clients too.
I love that. And before we wrap up, would it be okay? Can you give the audience a preview? The book, The Pumpkin Plan, it's a great title and very curious. Can you give us the 2-minute snapshot of how a pumpkin patch in New Jersey came up with a book on marketing and niche development and how we can apply that so the audience understands what we're going to be getting into?
Yeah, I cannot wait for this presentation. I promise you all, we will have so much fun and you will learn a lot. In fact, you're going to learn, among other things, three such profound questions to ask your existing customers. I think light bulbs will be sparking right in that moment. How it came about was growing my own businesses. I was struggling. I hit this ceiling, and most businesses do. You grow and you work harder and harder, and then working harder isn't working anymore. So I met with my mentor, my business mentor at the time, coach, and he said, we got to go visit a pumpkin patch, and specifically these colossal pumpkins. He said, I want you to know, Mike, they change the growing process from ordinary fields by 5%. Change a little here, change a little there, and there's this explosive growth. Most businesses, this is my argument, are on the verge of colossal growth if they choose to. And let me define colossal. I mean achieving your vision. I don't necessarily mean massive, heavy. I don't mean Amazon if that's not what you want. But we can achieve our vision. Yet most businesses are on the brink of just surviving another day. So it's not massive change you're going to learn. You're going to learn the few things that have this radical impact to grow your business.
I love that. And again, we're getting close. But for my audience out there, if you like this, you're going to love Mike speaking to us. And also, we are going to do a book signing. We're going to make sure that we can gift everyone a book there as well. So that's going to be absolutely unbelievable. And then before we go, just give us, again, the book All In. And so the book All In, you want people to go out and purchase that, and I want them to purchase that. Any other resources you think our audience would be good to get of yours in the process? Or
books? Yes, of course. I'd be honored if folks pick up All In. I promise you, you'll love the book. It's the best I can give, the best knowledge I have on the subject of recruiting, retaining, and raising the bar. The website to go to is Mike Motorbike. It goes to my website, like Mike McAllowitz, but no one can spell McAllowitz. But everyone remembers that rhyme. So Mike Motorbike, as in the motorcycle.com. And you'll find all the books, free chapter downloads. I just write for the Wall Street Journal. You can get those articles there too. Beautiful.
I love that. Mike, thank you so much. And I can't wait to see you in person.
I can't wait too.
Thanks.
Be well, brother.
Before you go, listen, we are in live event season, and I am going to tell you, you need to be at our live event. Please, please, please go into the show notes here. Click on the link to apply for a guest pass. Someone on our team will get in touch with you. You need to be there. Please give yourself a chance. I'm begging you. If you really hate it, just come up after and tell me, kick me in the shins, do something crazy. I don't even care. It's never happened. There's literally never anyone that never left there who hasn't had an unbelievable experience. So I'm asking you, I'm cordially inviting you, go into the show notes, apply for a guest pass, May 18th, 19th, any way you can get there. Please, can't wait to see you there.